Hello, this is Rust Felix, co-founder and CEO of Slope. Today we're drowning in research with Rishi Chatterjee. Rishi is the national coordinator for an international registry study called Ironman. He spends his days wearing many hats and wants to find a way to incorporate functional medicine into the health system through clinical trials. He acts small and dreams big, driven to build effective systems in Vancouver. Stay tuned for Drowning in Research. Rishi, thank you so much for joining me on Drowning in Research today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Russ. Thanks a lot for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Sure thing. So we've got two very different temperature things going on right now. I am close to New Orleans, and you're up in Vancouver, right?
That is correct.
I'm really excited to talk to you today because you are doing something very, very interesting.
Sure. So the study that I am involved in, it's called the International Registry for Men with Advanced Prostate Cancer. In short, it's called Ironman. This study, so it's an international study. There's about 9 countries involved right now, and Canada is one of the countries. The study is essentially there have been quite a few drug developments in the prostate cancer landscape over the past several years. The goal of this study is to really describe the treatment patterns of practitioners who are prescribing these various types of drugs, and to create an international database of what these practice patterns are like. And so we are collecting 3 kind of different types of information, going through the biospecimen, collecting biospecimens. We're also collecting the patient-reported outcomes, and then also some of the clinical information. And through collecting these data, we're going to create this large global registry that will really paint out this prostate cancer treatment landscape well. At least that's the hope.
The thing that really fascinates me about what you're doing, because most of the time on Drowning in Research, we're talking to coordinators who are running several trials at their site. Now, you're doing something a little bit different. As I understand it, up in Canada, you're kind of functioning on one side as a study site coordinator and on the other side as a sponsor for Ironman.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. So it was kind of decided for this study, at least in Canada, that my site would take on the lead role for all the other Canadian sites. So it's 10 sites total. And as that lead role, my duties would essentially be divided between a local study coordinator and between a national sponsor. The local role is, what you would anticipate in terms of, setting up study processes and patient accrual, things like that. Now, the national side is a little bit different because we are taking on those sponsor duties.
Operationally, since you are in charge of all the biospecimen collection across Canada, what does that look like logistically for you?
Mm-hmm. Messy, to be quite honest, at least in how I can imagine it. The other sites are a little bit behind. They haven't started recruiting yet. So my site is the only site that has begun recruiting. So once the other sites are actually through their ethics approvals, then they can begin, then I have to organize purchasing lab supplies and sending them to them. Then when they start accruing and collecting blood, then they will send that over. So I can't really say what it looks like right now because it's not happening. But because of it being 9 different sites and I have to receive all of them, I anticipate it might be a bit of fun to deal with.
I like your choice of the word fun.
Yeah,
that is entirely optimistic. I'll say that. What have you started doing? Have you been starting to map out the supply requirements on a visit standpoint? Are you thinking about doing kitting? What are your plans to be able to pull this off?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. The way that I've, I guess, looked at it is that, at least I'm using my own site as a visualization, but the sites are all going to receive the, all the necessary supplies, kind of in their original boxes, and then they would do the kitting themselves. And of course, when the time comes that the blood gets collected and processed and whatnot, and it eventually ends up back here, that would all be done through, normal shipments, things like that. So I don't think there's anything, I don't have any unique way, I guess, of approaching it.
If you're taking a bulk supply approach, if you're the one that's going to be managing it, sending bulk supplies and letting sites do their own kitting, that is definitely going to help your workload. One thing that I would caution you about is sites don't necessarily do a great job just because they're so busy from a day-to-day standpoint in tracking expiration dates for supplies. Or tracking inventory levels. I've spoken with coordinators all around the world, and it seems like the same thing happens to everyone. They don't check their supply closet until the patient's, maybe a day or two from an appointment. A lot of times the patient's in the waiting room when they're actually going to check the supply closet. So that can be a little bit of a challenge in just, staying organized and keeping sites on track from a supply standpoint.
That's really good advice, Russ. And I appreciate that as things are coming up, and I'll have to begin doing those tasks. Do you have any suggestions around a more optimal method of organizing, lab shipments and things like that?
Well, what's really interesting is we recently did a big global survey of study sites to kind of try to understand how they managed things like supplies, lab kits, drugs, devices, equipment, assets, things like that. What we found is the overwhelming majority of sites don't have any system in place for tracking their stuff. The ones that do tend to use spreadsheets. The biggest thing that I've found, in ensuring success for patient visit preparation is clarity and communication.
I hear you. And that's thanks again for that. That's really important for me to, I think, to hear.
How did you actually get into research? What prompted you to kind of go in this career direction?
Yeah, you know what? I won't lie. I certainly stumbled into this direction. Certainly. So when I went to school, I did a public health degree at Simon Fraser University, and it was definitely focused more on the broad areas of health and disease. And I remember going to some of these classes like research methods, and I would leave, and I told myself, I was like, I will never do research in my life. I told myself that. I was so adamant about whether the way it was presented, whatnot, I just did not want to be part of research. Anyway, so as time, went on, you're, a student looking for jobs and whatnot. You find research assistant jobs here and there, and yeah. So I slowly eventually kind of found myself at my current organization, and was still kind of thinking this is not, the place that I want to be. And as this is all, simultaneously, I'm, I love listening to podcasts, and a lot of the podcasts that I'm interested on are really focused on things like, functional health and nutrition and things that are really focused away from a pharmaceutical type of lens. And I started to think, I was like, maybe there's a space for, clinical research and, holistic type approaches, or, these less drug driven trials. So yeah, that's kind of where how I'm kind of where I'm at now.
I think that's an absolutely refreshing perspective
Because in the clinical research world, it's drugs, 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 devices, drugs, drugs, drugs.
Right.
And, I tend to be a fairly outspoken person. And whenever I talk to somebody, I'm like, you know, if you want to improve your health, three things. Get regular exercise. Eat mostly vegetables with some protein. You know, stay away from carbohydrates. And then just drink water.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be amazed at how many people are just chronically dehydrated.
Yeah, and I mean, I think there's space for that type of those types of thoughts even in a, you know, traditional medical model. I mean, I presented to the pain and symptom management team at my organization about the effectiveness of a ketogenic diet in reducing symptom pain. And so you know, it's not that people are, you know, traditional medical practitioners are not open to hearing that discussion. I just don't think it's in their face enough with how much pharmaceuticals are.
Right. Right. Well, Rishi, thank you so much for mm-hmm. joining us today on Drowning in Research. I cannot wait to see where you go in your career.
This was really great, Russ, and I really appreciate you reaching out. And yeah, your organization sounds like it's going to do some pretty great things, so it'll be exciting to see where that goes too.
This episode of Drowning in Research has been brought to you by Slope. Clinical trials require a lot of supplies, kits, drugs, and equipment. Slope tracks everything that powers your research. To learn more, please visit www.slope.io.